This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
What if you were just told what to do?
Oh, I like his little domination. Oh my God, that like turned me on to hear that voice.
Mother! Okay. Hey, mom!
Welcome to Sex Talk with My Mom. I'm Cam Potter.
And I'm Karen Lee Potter.
And this is the ultimate podcast about the birds and the bees with a sex expert cougar mother.
And her stand-up comic son, Cam.
That would be me.
That was my really weak attempt at a roar because I'm exhausted from the interview. It was so phenomenal.
The interview you guys are about to hear is... Okay, I won't say it's the best one because I say that every time, but it blew my fucking mind, and it probably is the best one.
It is the best one.
What you're about to hear is such a beautiful... opening into someone's sex life, two people's sex life.
All right, beautiful?
Yes. To find two people that know their sex lives as well as they do and are open enough to share that with us.
Right.
And to be honest, we weren't even expecting such openness. And we get into BDSM. We get into...
Right.
We get into threesomes that these two guys have had together, even though they're straight.
And I just wish that you... listeners could get a visual, and unfortunately you can't, of one is an actor and he looks like Thor.
He looks like a superhero.
He looks like Brad Pitt in Legends of the Fall on the horse. And I mean, like a surfer guy. He's absolutely gorgeous. And then he had blonde hair, that kind of look. And then you have the other one who's like this dark Hispanic mysterious kind of look. And
the Latin lover. The Latin lover and Thor.
And Thor. And the how they look exemplifies their personalities.
Yes. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to
this. I know. I don't even want to say anything. I think that we just have to let you guys roll with it. You're going to be so turned on by this, you may have to pull over to the side of the road if you're listening to it in a car.
I would say this is great for guys. It's great for men, for women. If you're interested in learning more about yourself or different fetishes.
You know what, though? It's more than fetishes and all that. It's about knowing yourself, what you want, and communicating it and being honest. And that's all we have to say about it.
On that note.
Don't miss this one. If you're going to listen to any podcast ever from Sex Talk with My Mom, this is the one to listen to.
Bold statement by the moot.
And you know what I have to say? And let me tell you about the birds and the bees and the flowers and the trees and the S and the M. And let's listen to the podcast.
Welcome to the show.
Okay. Thank you.
We have some incredible guests today.
Very pumped.
I'm glad we could come.
Oh, I think we're starting out with a bang there, aren't you? Boom. Boom, boom, boom.
We usually end with bangs, too.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, let's just get right into it.
We started with such a quick pre-interview, and you guys said you have threesomes all the time.
I just want to say.
You're going to go start off with that, huh?
I am so freaking jealous. Literally, my mom has been hating. Wait, hold on.
Yeah, how does that make you feel that your mom feels jealous about our threesomes?
Oh, it's fucking weird. Are you kidding? Every goddamn time she's talking about, and it started with like a slow allusion to like the fact that she has never done a threesome. Right. And that's interesting. And now it's full
that's
on.
Great.
I'm waiting for the threesome.
No,
when's it going to happen?
No, I'm not waiting for a threesome because I believe me, I could have one anytime I wanted. But I can't do it.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons, because I've done a lot of thinking about it, and I don't think I have the personality to handle it.
Okay.
Oh.
What if you were just...
told what to do.
Oh, I like his little domination. Oh my God, that like turned me on to hear that voice.
Mother, okay. Hey, mom,
stop.
Mom.
Oh, all right, stop. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? What if
told
I
told what to do? If you don't need a personality, you're kind of more of like an orifice, I guess.
Oh,
your fantasy gets fulfilled, and
yeah.
So I get fulfilled. The other thing in our pre-interview, we discovered that Hunter, his name is Hunter for a reason. He's into S&M. I assume it sounds like you play the more dominant position in S&M.
Absolutely.
Did you just hear what he said?
That's why I'm
assuming. More primitive.
Yeah. Wait, first of all, how old are you?
22.
22.
What the fuck?
Old enough.
Old enough.
What the fuck?
He's old enough.
He comes
to
in
know.
With confidence, brimming out the asshole. I'm 5 years older than you. I haven't come close to this type of shit.
Not even near it,
mom.
Okay.
This doesn't need. You don't need to drill it into me.
Okay, let's go back to Hunter for a second. Okay.
Yes.
What is your chosen career?
I'm an actor.
An actor. Mm-hmm. That's why he has some confidence.
He's a successful actor. He's like a real actor.
And I
got to
say, sure. This is a podcast, so you guys don't know what he looks like, but he's really very good looking, kind of like exotic.
Do I need to separate you two?
No. But he kind of resembles like, who's the Mets like pitcher? Thor. Oh, that's who it is. Okay, Thor. Okay. You know who I'm talking about?
Maybe. Oh, that's a very, it's a great.
Does he have a huge
I don't know about
heart?
That. Does he have a huge heart?
Huge arm.
Okay.
These are two very handsome men that have threesomes together. I got to hear more about this.
Wait,
this is crazy.
Let's get back
to hold on. Two dudes that have threesomes together.
Yeah, that sounds really weird.
Let's just say.
Sounds like a terrible ratio.
Yeah.
We already have two.
It sounds
people.
Like we do very gay acts for free.
Yeah. and you guys like cross
not
swords?
Look
so
good.
Do you ever see Entourage when they cross swords? That was
no, or yeah, the balls touch. It's awkward.
It's awkward.
He likes to make eye contact. It's not my thing.
Is this true? Is this
I'm just trying to still wrap my head around. Like, there's two dudes, and then we would have a. This is.
Wait, so you were joking? You don't actually have threesomes?
Oh, no. That was completely serious.
What? Oh, you do have threesomes.
Wait.
We've had the worst threesomes, though.
Yeah, we have very bad luck when it comes to that.
Why is it bad? Why are they. First of all, how does it happen? How does this come about?
It's always awkward from beginning to end. Every time.
I'm going to
tell you,
times?
Threesomes, sixsomes with girls, with only girls. I know how to do it. I have it down to a fucking science. When it comes to, it's just like, I don't know. We just don't do it good together.
It's terrible.
Wait,
yeah. Terrible.
What is your profession?
I am a musician.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Very successful. Also,
yes.
Keep going. We'll plug them later.
So basically, because you guys are actors, musicians, you think you have more opportunities to have threesomes than the average Joe walking down the street.
You try 100 times and you get one yes, but you try 100 times a day.
You
do. I wouldn't say more success.
Game. It's all the numbers.
I wouldn't say
game.
More success.
Where are you trying, though? Are you like on the street? Like, hey, how about two guys? It's a two for the price of one deal.
Oh, shit. Time and place.
He opens, I close. I don't know.
Oh,
is that
oh.
is there
yeah,
a strategy?
More of an opener. Yeah.
He's more of a closer.
Absolutely.
And so you work well as a team.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're out. You meet a girl. Is the third person a girl? I shouldn't even assume at this point.
Yes. The third person is a girl. Okay. It has to be a girl.
Usually, the second and third person is a girl.
Oh.
Oh, wait a second.
Right. So you'd be the first person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, so okay, the times that this has been that you
we don't
guys
only have threesomes together.
Okay,
this
basically.
Is outrageous.
Are there, okay, so when you say threesomes, are there also foursomes and fivesomes and orgies?
Three and above is usually. What
damn, I'm so jealous.
Shit. Jesus Christ. Okay, so you're out. You meet a girl. You say, I don't. You're the opener. What do you say?
Good question.
I usually go with a nice sultry tone.
Nice, yes. Of course.
Hello, what's your name? I just give like a good, you know, intro.
Oh, that's great. That's very seductive. Yep. Hello, what's your name?
I have to send him a DM, and then just the rest is history.
Wait, is this like on Tinder or any of these?
No.
This is in a bar, usually? I mean, where are you meeting these girls?
I don't know. It just always, from like in my history, it all always varies. Like, depends.
Are you under the influence of alcohol? You can be straight as an arrow.
Usually?
Yeah, not now.
Or right now.
Not right now.
I'm like, hold on. Am I drunk right now?
No.
When this happens, when this goes down, you're meeting a girl, are you fucked up or are you sober and doing this?
Well, usually, typically, like growing up, I used to have absolutely zero game because I used to be in a band. And if you're in a band, you don't really have to try.
You're
just like, after the show, it was great. And
it's
then
groupies.
Just, hello, this is my name. And then girls would just come and chase you. So that was
how old are
like
you?
I am 28.
You're more Cam's
still,
age.
Still more experienced than me. So
wait, more?
Mom.
So, okay. So back to, so you're in this, so typically you're in a, like, are you in a bar or are you in some sort of a, like a club of some sort or?
I don't know. It kind of all depends. Like usually we have a pretty good social, social network in our vibes. Like if it's a house party or for whatever it is, if it's like a social setting, it's pretty easy for either of us or for myself to just go and be social and talk to people.
Do you have like girls. A signal to Hunter? Like, oh, that's our girl tonight. Do you like get some sort of a?
We no, definitely have like a. Yeah. All right, this place is closing. Hurry up, offense.
Definitely, yeah. He'll go up and talk to anyone. He's confident in that sense for sure. And then I'll come up too, and then she'll definitely like one of us, and then the other one will incorporate the other. So it's like sharing is caring. That old rap song, God. "Ain't No Fun If the Homies Ain't Get Some." You know what I'm saying, like we well, live by the law.
You guys have a very different look. I mean, you got a blonde surfer look, and we've got this exotic like Hispanic. I don't know if you're Hispanic, but whatever. Yeah. But that
absolutely,
look.
And whatever they're into dictates who they're looking at. You know what I'm saying?
And then they learn that they're into both. Okay, so they get back to your place.
We call it the wobbly saying. H.
What is? Oh my god! Yeah.
What? Wait, it went over my head. What?
The wobbly H.
It's funny when you say
we
it.
We learned this the other day. This is the same thing. Spit roasting. Is this the same thing?
Yeah. Same,
Eiffel Tower. You look at me like you don't know what we're talking about. We were on stage the other day. I had to explain what this was to you.
Okay. What was it again?
I've never heard the wobbly H either, okay. But I just had a mental picture.
That you probably were involved in it.
And it's
What was it again?
Think about an H, mom.
Yes.
It's got two lines on the side.
And oh, and the girl, thing that got girl
is. So I'm straight as one of the lines. He's straight as the other line. And then we have the girl.
Man. You guys.
And so.
I live in the life.
Do you have like a preferred spot in the H? That you guys. You
that
do.
That literally happened the other
day. Yeah.
What, do you guys fight over this?
I like getting head. Mm-hmm. He likes fucking. I like getting head because I feel like it's more powerful and I'm in control over. Fucking kind of is more intimate and I'm not as into it. But he can't get off during head. Yeah. So he fucks.
This is.
Yeah. I feel like I'm with two porn stars, which is not that unusual either.
So wild. Yeah. Okay, so you said it's awkward when you guys. It's always awkward. What is uncomfortable about it? It seems like you guys have the shit on lock.
You think so?
Just you never really know. Sometimes there's so many variables in there. Sometimes like the environment, like the fire alarm goes off in this place.
Oh,
a lot.
Yeah, a lot.
It happens a lot.
He told me he loved me during one of them. Like it was a bro love completely.
It was like, dude, you know what? I love you, man. You're such a great.
Oh my god! And the girl look up like, what am I doing?
She's like, wait a minute, what's going on?
I'm part of this H.
And like,
and
you
I'm
think girls would think it'd be hot to watch guys, but they think it's the most disgusting thing. I'm not that we're into it at all. No. They fuck. Nobody's into that.
Have you tried
that?
We
didn't even high five. No.
You haven't even gone there yet.
No, high five. But wait, so I agree with Kim. We're not sure how it goes from hello, what's your name? These are two cool looking dudes. Come back to my apartment.
Yeah.
Well, Hunter's usually the one that like kind of gets that initiated. I'm just
sure.
I'm the lucky one that makes it happen.
Yeah, he'll start it, and then I'll be blunt, and I'm kind of rude. So like my rudeness and forwardness complements his very nice, caring, charismatic personality.
Wait, what? Like rude? Like come suck my dick?
Yeah.
And that's where the S&M comes in.
Sure, absolutely.
And so they know what they're getting into, kind of,
and they know exactly what they're getting into, and they won't. They have a while to think about it as well, so it's all about communication for me, you know, so they don't regret anything, and they feel, you know, to an extent fulfilled. But we haven't had that many successful threesomes. Like,
why
I don't
is
know
it not
why
successful?
I could go into detail, but I don't know if you want
to. Yeah, people need to be happy at the end. Is that a successful threesome?
I'm fine every time. I get off every fucking time.
What is success then in a threesome?
I feel like willing to do it again, usually.
Yeah, sure.
Right? Oh, okay.
No, I feel like we've reached that as a sex, but I mean, like, in a sense that he never gets off.
So both you guys have to get off, and she probably has to get off.
No, he never gets off. You never get off.
No.
But for a successful one to occur, they both have to get off.
Yeah, so unsuccessful, that's why.
Yeah, they're all unsuccessful so far.
Oh, so if he got off, that would be a success.
Yeah, because I'll come, and
success
then...
Success for me.
Yeah,
and by the way, I'm assuming the girl does not have orgasms.
No, for sure.
Definitely does.
They do. Yeah.
Multiple.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Never about her.
So I'm also curious, when it's going down, this is not just like a quick thing. I imagine there's like you're pleasuring her. It's not just like one position. We're done.
I'm so selfish. I'm telling you, he does the work.
I don't know why you're.
You do the work.
That.
He does.
I like to give. I'm like completely different. I'm like a romantic. I'm a one woman kind of guy, but I just haven't found that. So I'm just taking it out on like whatever.
Okay.
Okay, so you are like giving some attention to this.
I'm completely opposite of Hunter.
So maybe that's kind of what makes it. Maybe that's why these girls get into it so much, because you're so opposite.
Maybe.
You know, you like got the whole, romancer, and you got the
guy. Yeah, you're romancing them.
They got a whole experience.
And we've got Hunter and 50 Shades of Grey over here.
Mm-hmm. Hunter, you're just standing by watching, or what's going on?
I am a voyeur in a sense. I would love to watch or even direct the threesome. Which I do, I would say.
Holy shit. Yeah, yeah.
Are these videoed?
No, we don't have a video. No, we don't need to. I don't know.
Don't do that. There goes the career.
That's why, I mean, that's pretty, it is blowing my mind that you're 22 and you have this knowledge and confidence of yourself, and that you're able to execute on it.
Sure, sure, sure.
Where did this come from?
Yeah, exactly. And how old were you when you lost your virginity?
My virginity story is so great.
I was, you have to tell this.
I was young, though. I was like 11.
11?
So, a little too young. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
I don't even think you knew where your penis was at 11.
Thank you, mother. Yes, no, I did. Yes, I did. Why am I defending myself? You didn't know where your penis was. Okay, go on with this.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a successful virginity by any means. It was one for the books, and I love
the best virginity story.
Yeah, 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 it was really good.
Oh my God, we're hearing the threesome and the best virginity story ever. I want to hear it right now.
Let me set up for this.
We're gonna get back
to threesome, though. Don't worry, listeners.
Okay, so 11 years old, cute little kid, just dating a girl 2 or 3 years older than me, and she was telling the whole school she wanted to touch my it. I didn't know what that was, you know, for a couple weeks, and then it got explained to me that it was my wiener. And don't laugh, I love that word. So I was like, yeah, whatever, touch my wiener if you want, you know, I'm a nudist at heart. And so she's like, meet me, all right, 2 o'clock in the morning in this creek bed. I'm like, okay, I'd love to meet you at 2 o'clock in the morning in this creek bed.
Where were you exactly? What state were you in?
Where I was in NorCal. NorCal, California. And so I go down there and meet her, you know, and there's this sand pit, you know, next to all these like homeless camps, trying to paint you a picture. Very romantic, like weeds, dirty rocks, whatever. So I lay her down there, you know.
Jesus, yeah, yeah, yeah. There's gentlemen. Like homeless people observing you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there was.
Okay, Jesus.
So I was laying down there, and then eventually I figured out how to have sex. I don't know how I got hard at the time. I was 11 years old, you know, I guess premature.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if I...
I was getting really hard.
Right. So it was my first orgasm, too. And it was my first everything. So I've never even shown my dick to anyone, I don't think. You know, besides my mom. No, I never masturbated before. So I didn't even know I could do it, you know?
Wow.
It's like most people that come, like you come like on your first dance or something like that, or like whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So eventually I'm starting to have sex with her, you know, I guess it works. And like, I guess this girl's just loving it, right? As the older, more mature woman she is. And she starts orgasming. She's squirting everywhere, right? Fucking fireworks. Bop, bop, bop. All over me. All fucking over me, right? Yeah, 13 or 14. And I'm like, what the hell is this? I was like, this girl's just pissing all over my dick.
Oh, wow.
In my head, right?
Yeah, okay.
So I'm like, oh, fuck. I was like, this is disgusting. Nobody told me about this. I didn't have this conversation like goddamn mom, so I wouldn't know that there's fucking pee involved, right? So I'm like, fuck, and I pull out. And I'm like, listen, bitch. I was like, I didn't say that. Yeah. But in my head, I'm like, listen, bitch. Mm-hmm. I was like, can you please stop peeing on me? She's like, she doesn't know what it is either, right?
Oh, wow.
So I stick it back in because it does feel good, but I'm still grossed out. So I'm covered in pee. I thought it was pee, whatever, right? And air gets in there. So I'm fucking her, and then it's just like, boop, 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 like queefing. I didn't know what queefing was. I didn't know it was a fucking thing either.
My God.
So I was like, this girl is farting and peeing all over my dick. I was like, this is fucking terrible. I was like, this is goddamn awful. So I was like, I'm done. I left. We didn't talk ever again. I didn't have sex again for 2 years until my cousin explained to me that people do queef. People do orgasm and squirt on you, and it's a thing.
That
you
is
should
the
be
last
attracted to
shit.
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it was very traumatizing for me at a young age.
Whoa.
And that probably stems from my weird S&M and
that's why
very
you're
dominant
who
behavior.
You are.
Wait,
so I'm like, hey, I got to tell you exactly how I want it because shit could go wrong fast.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Immediately.
Wow.
So that's why you're into S&M?
No, definitely not. But that was just a terrible virginity story.
It's a great virginity story.
Any 11-year-olds out there listening to this, people do pee on you and fart.
Were you wearing condom at the time?
Yes.
Okay. And have you talked to that girl since?
No.
I haven't talked to her for forever.
Wait a second. Yeah. Hold on. Why did you even know to wear a condom?
I think I wouldn't know where I knew, but I remember I used a condom.
Probably the girl.
I think I always
did
used a
condom. Did she bring
one? Until, I think she probably brought one, yeah. Because I definitely couldn't buy them at the time.
And how did you meet her?
Or have access to
it. How did you meet this girl?
I was dating her. She was an older girl. I was dating her. We made out during lunch. Like, it was cool. It was
so you knew her at school?
Yeah, yeah. I was school with her.
Crazy story. Love it.
Crazy.
Love that crazy story.
Thank you. I appreciate you letting me tell it.
Yeah, so I do wonder.
It bottles up.
How do you think that has affected the rest of your sex life, if it has any had any effect?
I don't think it had any effect. I think losing your virginity at a young age kind of put me in a box in school because people found out. So they thought, oh, there's that kid that had sex early. You know what I'm saying? So like you looked at differently.
Girls look at you different. Were you,
say it again?
Were you cool because of it?
Or was I would consider myself cool, and I feel like I had a lot of friends and that kind of thing. So girls thought it was like, oh, this, you know, this guy, they have that idea. Like if a girl's going to date me, she's going to want to fuck me, you know?
Mm. Oh, wow.
That's
what happens in high school. And that's what I hate. Cause you get put in a box either as the bully or getting bullied, you know, and everyone looks you.
Or you got
way.
Put in a box as a stud.
Exactly. And I was also kind of, yeah. So
you didn't like even being put in a box as a
stud? Absolutely not. You know, so then I moved schools when I was 15 and I told everybody I was a virgin.
Oh, no.
So I was completely
no one knew
different.
About the secret stud that got squirted.
Exactly.
On. Were you treated differently because of that?
My next school?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And I got like higher caliber of like the girls that were, you know, more pure.
Oh,
that
wow.
I could corrupt unknowingly to them, you know. I was
now
like, whatever.
We're talking to S&M started.
Which is wrong. Yeah, but you don't lie. And then, you know, you learn that's a bad thing and you grow up and stuff. Now I'm very forward and honest.
You sure you don't tell people you're virgin?
No, I don't think anybody believe it.
As you lure them into your den of menage a trois.
Yeah, a den of iniquity.
Do you have a good virginity story? No,
I don't. I don't even remember.
You don't remember?
Are you a virgin?
I'm still a virgin. That's what it is. I don't have a good virginity story.
Okay.
So how old were you when you lost your virginity?
Well, I still didn't even get off when I lost my virginity.
I don't think a lot do, though. That's the thing. I don't think. Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that don't get off. For sure, girls usually do not get off.
Really?
But I think that
makes
sense. The best thing for anybody is to have a really good losing of your virginity. It sets the tone for the rest of your life.
Well, yeah, his is great.
But if you have a good experience, I think that, especially for women, that if they have a good experience, they might be more apt to be
if you could,
enjoying sex.
How would a younger guy that's going to interact with a girl for the first time give her a good experience if they're both virgins or, you know, new to sex? So how would you recommend
that? I think one of the things is having the confidence that you do.
You're not going to have that at a young age.
No, but you have like the guy that I lost my virginity to had a lot of confidence.
Sure.
And he'd be like, what?
You're a young kid. You don't get to choose how much confidence you have.
But the guy lost my virginity to was a young kid. He was like 19 or 20.
Yeah, but
how old were you?
I was 19, so he might have been like 20.
Okay, your advice to having a good...
So my advice is for anyone that's taking someone's virginity and wants the woman to have, or girl to have a good experience, focus on the girl. Make sure that she just like totally is so wet and so into it by the time you're ready to actually go in there that it's going to be pleasurable. And she may actually have an orgasm because you just keep focusing like 100% of your attention on seducing her.
Okay, I'm going to argue and say... I don't think it's just focusing on her. I think that can get real awkward. If you're not willing to receive pleasure, that girl is going to feel like, oh my God, he's only fucking focusing on me. This is really weird. So for most guys, they're like, I just want to get off. And so they only focus on themselves. And then the girl is left dry. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what the fuck? And they probably might not want to fuck you
so
again.
So terrible.
The opposite is that you're focusing so much on them that they're like, okay, when do I get to suck you off or
don't
do whatever?
Worry. They'll be fine waiting for that time to happen.
I would agree with you. I think that there's also like a nice balance in between there, but I would agree more on your side.
You're never going to go wrong with focusing on the girl. Never go wrong.
I would never want to take someone's virginity ever, but if I could give someone a pointer that's going to, I'd probably say just ask for consent all the time. Like anything you're doing, just consent, mm-hmm. and make sure it's not a maybe, like it's a yes. You're like, I want it. And make sure it gets to that point for them. You know, because I think that gets rid of any sort of regret or confusion.
And also kind of like going into it, just do your research. There's so much online that you can learn before going into it.
Can listen to this talk show.
Exactly.
What's your guys' age group for this talk show?
We get mainly 18 to 35. 20 plus. Yeah.
And tell you how awesome I think it is that you guys are doing this as a mom and a son?
Oh, thank you.
Because I have this relationship with my parents, and I really wish a lot more people did.
Tell us about that.
Oh, man. I'm my dad. And I are the most open people with each other. My mom and
are
I, you know, I have another funny story. In sixth grade, when I lost my virginity, I was an athlete, so I had a staph infection on my balls, and it was a zit that got inflamed, right? Mm. So I started crying because I thought it was herpes, and I was like bawling my eyes out. And my mom was like the love of my life. I went to her. I was like, "Hey, mom, like, I had sex, and I think I have herpes. Can you take me to the doctor? Like, I'm bawling my eyes out. And she's like, yeah, let's go. Like, I got you, you know? And that's how she found out I lost my virginity, and it went away the next day. The fucking zit.
I was like, damn it.
The worst, most awkward thing ever, but I felt comfortable enough with my mom to do that at that young of an age.
And
now, that's huge.
And you and your mom have been close ever since.
Oh, yeah.
So are they together, your parents?
No, they're divorced.
So do you think that has any impact? I always feel like that there's a possibility that you could have a closer relationship if, like, you're dealing with a single mom.
Really?
I don't know.
To her.
Sure. Okay, yeah, I would say definitely I was more protective. I didn't like my dad as much growing up because he, you know, ruined the marriage, and I feel like I had to protect my mom and be there for her as the oldest son, you know? And, it grew me close and made me more, like, seeing as, like, not necessarily her as a mom, but her as, like, my fucking best friend, you know, in a sense.
Yeah. So do you think this affects, like, what led to your openness with both your parents about with regard to sex?
I think it's just my personality. Honestly, I think it's just my personality. And it's me ever, like, from the beginning when I tell them something, them not judging me and supporting anything I decide to do and any decision, which is huge. You know what I mean?
Are they open with you about their sex lives?
My dad is. My mom isn't as much, I think. I mean, like, my mom is too. I don't ask her anything. If I did, she would tell me, you know?
Yeah. It is interesting. Like, I don't really, we're open about it, but I don't love hearing about your sex life.
You don't need to either. I think it's more of a vice versa thing. You know what I mean? Like, you don't, you know?
Yeah. There's no need. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's there, if you have a question, it's there to offer, but it's just like, you got to ask for it. It's not, I mean, I'm not going to push my beliefs on you as a, you know, or my stories as a mom. Right.
But if I want to like give an example of what happened in my college days, I think you can really be comfortable with hearing that.
Yeah.
Kind of
stuff. Yeah.
So sure. For you and your mom though, would you tell your mother about the threesome?
I've told her things that, I told her I dated a bisexual woman. I told her a bunch of stuff. My mom's good with everything.
Does
I told
she
her,
know
like,
you're like Christian Grey and Shades of Grey?
No, but I mean, she's no, I don't no, not necessarily. She doesn't ask, but I told her if I would.
But you probably
her,
would,
know?
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
After she hears,
I've told
this
her
podcast,
some, yeah, just the
will.
Same similar stuff. It's just not necessarily the BDSM stuff, you know. Sure. So then it, you know.
What about you with your parents? Are you open with them?
I'm not really open sexually with my mom. I think it's still kind of like awkward. There's not necessarily anything that I wouldn't share with her. It's just like I don't necessarily feel the need to. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm very close with her. I'm more on a like a best friend kind of like relationship. Yes. We're great. We get along really well.
Mm-hmm. Are your parents together?
No. Single mom. She raised me. I kind of hit home when Hunter was saying that, you know, he felt protective over her, and it's like a different kind of relationship. But I feel really close, but not necessarily the need to like know about either her sex life or need to talk about my sex life with her.
Yeah. And so I relate to that as well. I'll do that. As well, because she, well, I grew up with the dad until 17, and then, but since then, it's been 10 years where I feel very protective of her. And
yeah, well, like, their father died.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Thank you. So it's a different situation in your.
You got to grow closer. You got to break those boundaries.
Well, that's how we started the podcast. We were all
amazing. So
we
beautiful.
Became very close, and we're like, okay, well, you only have so many years with your parents. You might as well be open with them.
I'm telling you, and I wish I could spend more time. They're my mentors, you know, and it'd be huge if they lived here and I could see them every day. But, you know, my dad texts me every night. He loves me. My mom, you know, calls me every Wednesday and Sunday. So
that's awesome.
Wait, why Wednesday and Sunday?
Well, that's the thing.
It's the routine.
It's good.
Half and half.
So back, I'd like to dive into this BDSM.
Sure. And I feel like that's what I can offer most to this conversation.
Yeah.
So to people that are out there that are, you know, finding their fetishes to be a little different than others, or having kind of like feeling like it's kind of like coming out as a gay man or coming out as a lesbian. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have a fetish, you don't want to tell anybody about it, you know, like, yo, I'm really into. And just so everyone knows, as many people that are into fetishes, there's that many different kinds of fetishes. So, and it's always
right. And it also depends on what you consider a fetish. I mean, because you like, you know, tying someone up and spanking them or whatever, that doesn't even necessarily, to me, equal a fetish. We've had a lot of talks about what exactly a fetish is.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've had some weird fetishes.
Yeah. Like, so what would be considered a fetish?
Like a guy that wanted to have me go shit in a toilet and eat my shit. That to me is more of a fetish.
That's beyond.
That's beyond.
I mean,
gross.
Yeah, that's definitely a fetish.
Yeah. But having a little S&M in a relationship.
So what a fetish
not.
Is, to me, A fetish back in the day was a medallion someone would wear, and it'd be considered a god, and they'd worship it. So anything that gets you fucking hard immediately, right?
Oh, wow.
So that's a fetish to me.
Oh,
so like,
yeah,
if,
yeah. I've heard
if,
that used before.
Yeah, so if it's like you want to worship, you know, my feet or something like that and get you fucking hard, like that'd be a fetish, your fetish kind of thing. Mm. So it's not necessarily like as weird as it gets. There's no
right.
judgment in the community.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no judgment in the community at all. It doesn't have to be eating shit in a toilet. Mm. It can be the simple as like, I really like biting your lower lip and looking you in the fucking eye.
Exactly. Mm. Or wearing lingerie or anything. It, you know, sure. I think, I don't even know if I'd call any of this stuff fetishes.
So,
I think
and,
it would more
and
like
nowadays,
preference.
Since, you know, the 50 Shades of Grey, the romantic novels that are out everywhere that are bestsellers on Amazon, you know, there's less things that are taboo and people are getting more into weird and weirder shit because there's that much more available online.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think you became more like that by watching porn?
I necessarily didn't watch porn. It's more of like a literature kind of thing for me. You know, so I read about it and I'm like, wow, that's fucking hot. And that's what got me into it. Instead like of like Googling porn or masturbating the things, I'm more of like going out and experiencing it.
Yeah. So wait, when did it start? And like, how did you discover that this is
something I'm
you're
into?
Interested in? Yeah.
I think you it's funny, like when you're in the scene, you meet, you're drawn to other people in the scene. It's a weird aura kind of energy thing, which it blows my mind. Well, I'll bring it up and I'll be surprised what they're into, you
yeah.
know, and it's honestly mind blowing.
I mean, are you talking going to like dungeons or are you just basically talking about?
Yeah, to the extreme. I've been to the dungeon scene in Los Angeles and it's pretty clean, pretty cool in LA. The scene in New York, the scene in London, weird, you know, it's kind of nerdy too. So like the more of the private parties and, my own parties I throw myself, I like because it's you know the guys that are going to be in there, you know the girls, you know, like everyone's gonna be respectful and everything else. And
I'm wondering if you'll ever be monogamous.
I feel like I'll find the girl that make me monogamous, or I'll find a girl that's okay, you know, being open and bisexual.
Yeah,
you know, monogamy's hard. People are living a lot longer. You know, marriage, it's not those. I mean, that was made like a long time ago. So people are changing. I'm not worried about the monogamy thing. I just know, since my dad was a cheater, that if I'm with a girl and I ever have those urges, I will completely communicate that. Like, hey, listen, like, I'm married to you, but I'm having these urges, and it doesn't take away from how much I fucking love you. I'll do anything for you, but I feel like, is it okay if I can venture off, or is there something we can work out between us?
Hmm. How can you be 22 years old and be this wise? Are you a Pisces, too?
No, Sagittarius.
But that's a good question. Where did you learn about this? Like, how did you...
Okay, I mean, there's a bunch of different scenarios. I mean, I don't know how far you want to dig into this, but again, when I was younger, terrible divorce. You know, I fucking love my parents so much. So sad to see them part. You know, got a beautiful sister out of it. But I didn't want to... Every time I had sex with a girl, especially at a young age, I would like sit and cry because I thought it was bad, you know? And then I didn't start disliking myself in a sense because I feel like I was doing what my dad did to my mom, you know, sleeping with multiple women. And then I realized... At the time, yeah, when I was younger, I was like, every time I like hooked up with a girl, you know, I was like, fuck, it's not my wife, you know, this is terrible, you know, also being really religious. And I started growing and I started learning myself. And I'm like, you know, everyone's different, everyone has different beliefs. And I started figuring out what I believe in personally and you my own values, you know. And I figured, like, okay, I have these urges that are not monogamy. So how can I make it with integrity and, you know, still have the passion and lust and be fulfilled myself, but also not hurt anyone in the process? Because that's the last thing I ever want to do. I don't want to hurt anyone. I want to leave this world a better place.
Yeah.
So
you grew up religious.
Sure. You know, and I'm still, you know, spiritual. I have the God I believe in, you know, and still mostly Christian, but.
Did you, when you meet girls, how do you introduce BDSM into the situation?
So, okay, good. I mean.
Pulls out a whip.
Sure. I mean,
what
like,
do you think
I,
of this
I mean,
one?
I have contracts. I have, to whatever extent. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's smart. I mean, because you are in a place of celebrity, you got to protect yourself about this.
Absolutely.
So do you have them sign contracts and stuff?
Wow. I can read some of the contracts.
I'd love to see the contract. Yeah, this is really right out of 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, a little darker.
Is that what they did in 50 Shades of Grey?
Yeah. He's Christian Grey Jr. here.
He's really smart to do this. I had never thought of ever
like you have
a contract.
You have a safe word, things like that.
Yeah, of course. Let me see. There's a couple, but here's like a very basic contract. So it goes, rules for my submissive. These rules are designed to ensure safety and boundaries between the master and submissive. Rules can be changed or alerted at any time throughout the arrangement, but only after being agreed upon by all active participants. Submissive. It is your sole duty as a submissive to please master. Pleasing physical wants of master fulfills desires and fantasy exactly as told. You shall serve the master with obedience and respect. Failed to do so will result in punishment. Respect and obedience. Manner of speech, promptness, and proper answer. Follow commands, trust, honesty, and loyalty. You will refer to me only as God, Mister, Master, or Sir. Any other name will not be permitted. Whoa. It goes on and on. I mean, there's a bunch of
different. Where did you get this? Very online.
This one was actually sent to me by a girl that was my dominant for about a week.
Oh, what?
I thought I could do it, but
this
I
didn't know about that.
She had me lick her boot, and I was like, this is the fucking worst. God, no.
But this is exactly what Fifty Shades of Grey was. Did you read the book?
Yeah, I read the book.
Because he was a submissive person. That's how he decided that it's a gift to be the dominant to the submissive because of the fact that he already knows what it's like to be the. He apparently liked being the submissive.
Yeah, yeah. He still has a great relationship with the girl that taught him. I mean, I still talk to her often, very successful woman.
She's so that actually laid the groundwork to.
I was in a girl that was pansexual and also a feminist. I dated her, and we had a very she liked to be like not necessarily abused sexually, but very dominated in bed, and that kind of like okay, I'm into that. And then I actually dated this girl for 3 years, but she had a boyfriend at the time. And she wanted me to rape her. She cheated on her boyfriend with me because she wanted to be raped. That was her fantasy. And I realized I liked that, but it was a red flag. I should not have dated her for 3 years. That girl was just evil. Bad.
Terrible way to start off.
No, terrible.
She's into rape, but rape by definition is like, oh, she doesn't want it. So she does want it. So how does that work?
So you take it. So it's kind of like it's kind of more the theatrics of it. So like she was there, you know, it was pre-planned, like, consent form signed, like on writing, so I knew it was protected. And you know, she was kicking and screaming, but I just, you know, did it anyways. It's hot. She loved it.
So when do you? I mean, I got in trouble when I said this before with a bunch of my girlfriends, but the truth of the matter is, studies have shown that is the number one fantasy of women.
Yeah, I'm telling you. And unfortunately, it's something I'm really into as well. So you know what you're into. But
it's great that you know this and you're able to actually create a situation where you can enact this.
Exactly.
It's also interesting that you're an actor.
I was about to say the same
profession because there is a lot of overlap in.
You think so?
In BDSM.
Well, you're role playing.
Just expressing yourself. In some way, you know, everyone's creative in their own way. I happen to have a very intense imagination sexually. Yeah. So
how did you decide to become an actor?
I did reality TV, like loving in front of the camera, did some acting classes and just fell in love with it, obsessed, passionate. So I figured that's what I want to do.
Can you tell us the craziest thing you've done with a girl or you asked a girl to do?
Oh yeah.
Where do we begin?
Sure. Fuck. I would say that anytime you're ever in a dungeon in LA, it's going to be a crazy experience for them, you know, hanging them upside down, you know, creating an experience that they can never imagine, you know, and leaving them in like a euphoric state and kind of like pushing their boundaries with pain, orgasms,
pleasure.
That's
what scares me. I got to be honest. Sure. When you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm scared of pain.
Not that sadistic.
Oh, okay.
Again, more rape is my thing. Like primitive as in sense, like I want to fucking chase. I want to grab you by the hair and take you, you know. Dungeon play is more for them. You know, a lot of people are into pain. A lot of people are into that kind of thing. You know?
Gotcha.
A lot of masochists out there, surprisingly.
Yeah.
The fetish club bouncer that we interviewed was a masochist.
Which is a beautiful thing. Submissive have most of the power, you know, and for that one moment, their mind's quieted, you know, the pain quiets anything they have going on, and they come in the submissive space, you know, so it's beautiful.
Yeah, I think that there was definitely, we were definitely getting that from that interview. If you guys haven't listened to that, you definitely go back and listen to that.
Sure.
Interview. How do you feel about all this?
How do I feel about this specifically? It's just like, this is, I mean, with what him, I know exactly what he's talking about because this is.
You've witnessed it.
Well, I've witnessed some of it, but not too
How
much.
Long have you guys been friends?
4 months.
About that. About
oh, really? Months. So these little trysts have only been going on for 4 months. No,
this I is know. Such openness between you guys for only 4 months of knowing each other.
Yeah.
Holy shit. So it was immediately like, we're going to get along. This is going to be...
It was more of an experiment, and then it worked.
If you could only see them right now, they're on the couch together, and they've got their toes almost touching.
Hey! Almost playing footsies.
They're playing little footsies.
So who introduced the idea of threesome first?
Well, I've heard the stories of what this guy's done, and I was like, oh, okay, interesting. You throw parties like that. That's kind of cool. I still haven't seen one of these parties.
So you've never been part of this whole dungeon
and
dragons scene?
Not the dungeon and dragons. I'm the romantic one.
Wait,
on the other side of things. Lover type of tell us your
go ahead and call it that.
How do you seduce a woman then when you don't have Don Juan over here?
Well, you know, it starts with tequila. A lot of tequila.
That always gets me anyway. That Spanish accent is just woo.
Oh, you see?
You see? You're way ahead of the game with that.
No, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so with BDSM, do you have any concerns that you have to work around?
So the best thing about BDSM is that you don't really have to worry as much about concerns. Mm-hmm. That's what the contract's for. That's what communication's for. And it also you grow together on a deeper level, you know? So there's a difference between submissive and slaves. And I've had both. You know, I prefer slaves. And they're so well trained in a sense that, you know, they'll like come into my house, fold their clothes, kneel naked at the door, you know, lie at the foot of my bed, you know. In a sense, some people are into human furniture. They have positions 1 through 30 that I can call out, and they'll get into that position.
Holy cow!
You know, beautiful.
So there is a club of some sort out there that teaches you these different, like yoga positions.
No, it's just something I do. You know,
you mean you've taught them these positions?
Yeah.
Oh.
My God. You're just acting like we're supposed to understand this little language that you have here. So these girls know you, and they come back for seconds and thirds.
Yeah, it's a full-time thing. The slaves. Submissive is just purely sex. You know, it's less full-time. The few slaves I've had in my life, which, you know, very blessed to have them. They, you know, we talk every day. We, you know, see each other as much as we can. You know, punishment more occurs during those relationships because they'll do something I don't like. Or,
like what?
Like, you know, disobey one of my rules. You know, go out and get drunk. You know, they're not successful in their careers much, or they're, you know, they're not staying in shape. They're not, you know, wearing what they want them to wear. They're late to where I need them to be, you know, shit like that.
So this affects the whole relationship, even outside of the bed, like the
yes.
area.
So it's the whole thing. So like I have a pet right now. Oh, gorgeous, most amazing human, you know, very flowing energy. And
wait, there's a submissive, a slave, and a pet.
Yeah, pets. So it's like you can communicate what they want as well, too. So she's like, okay, these are my hard limits, blah, 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 blah. You know, whether it's, you know, blood, blah, blah, you know, whatever. And these are my soft limits, and then this is what I'm into, you know. And she's very into being a pet. She needs loving. She needs to be cared about. You know, people have their love languages. So.
I have not seen you at the dog run.
Outside the dogs? I mean, I used to fucking have a couple girls on leashes. It was very hot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Very, very fun.
So when you're out in public, are you able to express this without getting looked at? Or?
Absolutely. In the fetish scene, I do well because, like, you know, I walk in with like, a couple girls on leashes and people are like, who the fuck's that guy?
Yeah.
But in public.
More girls walk up to you and go, can I be one of your.
Absolutely.
Wow.
So, yeah. So my ex-girlfriend, bisexual, gorgeous, great soul. She would pull girls all the time, so I wouldn't even have to worry about it.
Wow.
But they would have to come in with my, you know, rules and play the certain role they need to, because she, as my girlfriend, needs to feel special and feel like she's kind of more important than the other women, you know, which I'm great at. I don't know why we can't have a successful threesome.
Can we get back to
this? Over.
So what is awkward about the threesome? Why doesn't it work?
It's just every time it's a funny story.
Yeah, there's always something different.
Can you? We're coming close on time, so maybe do you have a story that stood out to you guys?
I don't remember.
Come on.
I don't even know how many threesomes we've tried to have, but nothing has been like an accomplished threesome.
Yeah.
So
maybe we just need the right female out there.
Yeah, we'll come back.
The fact that you even did it, it means it's accomplished.
Yeah. Well.
Shit. Maybe we just have high expectations.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we play the drinking game Never Have I Ever in front of a live audience. It's hard to find even couples that will say that they had a threesome or people that...
Really?
Yeah.
They're probably just...
One of his friends said that he had an opportunity of losing his virginity in a threesome in a fraternity during college, and he didn't do it. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
That would be the greatest story ever. Not only have you had a threesome, but you lost your virginity. You'll tell that story forever.
Yeah. Awesome. Some people don't fuck for stories, ma'am.
I don't fuck for stories. Well, it's the only way to fuck.
Well, I have one other question. So you're an actor. Are you at all concerned? Because in 50 Shades of Grey, he was involved with some psychos that, you know, came back and tried to stalk him, stuff like that. This is a novel, obviously. Are you
I love psychos.
I fucking love psychos. Look at his eyes when he said that. They're like a glint,
I'm telling you, my biggest inspiration is slasher films and most pornography. So it's like...
But now, so... You're not concerned, though, that some crazy loony was going to come back later on when you're, you know, you got this budding career as an actor. You're not scared.
It's going to happen for sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
I'm not worried about it. I think that's going to be part of my niche. And, you know, just like you guys are trying to raise awareness for the mom and son kind of vibe, I'll be open eventually with, you know, my sexuality in a sense.
Have you ever thought about doing porn?
No, not my thing.
That's surprising too.
I imagine that some of our listeners who don't are listening and they're thinking to themselves, my God, this guy sounds like he's just abusing women,
not
especially if they're not familiar with the BDSM scene.
Yeah, and that'll happen a lot.
Yeah, so what do you say to them? How do you reassure them that this is not the case?
Absolutely. I reassure them in a sense that I could refer him to any girl I've ever slept with, and they'll tell you he's the most respectful man regardless of how he treats me in the bedroom. He is so loving and caring, and he makes sure every want and need that I need is taken care of. And again, it's all about communication, because I guarantee you a lot of the girls that are listening to this or whoever, you know, have those fantasies, and those get fulfilled that way, you know, and people, you know, find pleasure in pleasing other people. And if it's not for you, it's not for you. So it's never with someone that doesn't want it 100%.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome.
And it's role playing. It's not really, he's not an asshole.
Absolutely not.
Right. We always end with the same question, which is, have you ever been walked in on, or have you ever walked in on a parent having sex?
Ooh.
Kind of. It was so awkward for me.
Yeah.
I was putting on my stepdad's coat. In the coat was a dildo.
Oh, no.
Pulled the fucking dildo out, and I'm like, Mom!
Like, what is this thing?
I was like,
no.
What the fuck? It's like four arms and shit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man. So she's like, oh, it's just a toy. I'm like, no, I know exactly what this is, Mom. I fucking had sex like 2 days ago. I'm 11, you know? Like, I know what a dildo is. And she's like, we just bought it as a joke. I was like,
oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't keep your dildos in jackets, Mom.
Yeah. But she has never walked in on you when you had some girl strung up to the ceiling.
No. I moved out when I was 15, though, too, so.
Yeah, early.
Yeah.
No, I never. Which never got that lucky.
You never walked in, and you never
terrible.
Been walked in.
You want to walk in on your mom?
No,
and dad?
Hell no.
What?
he said I never got that lucky.
Fortunately,
what an experience that would be.
Yeah, fortunately, that's never happened to me.
Okay,
and they never walked in on you either.
Mm-mm. Not that I know of.
If they did, they keep quiet about it.
Yeah,
sure.
Sweet. Well, thank you guys
yes.
so much.
Oh, my God.
Again,
guys,
I appreciate what you're doing, and I'm proud of you guys. Thank you for letting us be a part of this beautiful.
I'm so
this
impressed so with your openness and honesty and the thoughtfulness that you took so much
thank
time
you.
To think about all these different issues. And you are a good role model. And if anybody wants to reach you, it'll have to be through us.
Is there anything that you guys want to plug?
not necessarily. Right
just anybody out there that's listening to this, feel free to, you know, express yourself, everyone express yourself, and just be yourself, you know, and learn what you want, and you'll lead a more fulfilled, happy life. So
beautiful. On that note, adios.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay,
seriously, I know we did not disappoint when we hyped this thing up, because this was out of control.
Just incredible. There was so much I was learning about. He pulls out a contract. He has women sign contracts.
I know. This is right out of 50 Shades of Frickin' Grey.
I didn't think sex could be like this. This is like a sport almost.
There was a movie out, I think it was called The Secretary or something like that, and it was just all about this relationship, this BDSM relationship.
Can you imagine? He's 22 years old. He's throwing BDSM parties?
I mean, this is foreign to anyone, but especially, okay. I know you're not going to want to hear this, but you are very different than him.
I'm extremely different than him. Although I would say I'd be interested in attending one of these parties just to see what happens.
Oh,
I think I would be scared in both the situation where I am the dominator and or the submissive. Both sides, such polarities.
I like it. I don't think like I said in the interview, I don't think I could do the whole thing, to the painful part and all that kind of stuff. But I definitely like the whole excitement of it. I think it does spice things up, and it could keep you very interested. And because after a while, let's face it, sex with the same person is going to get monotonous, monogamous. If you're monogamous, it could get monotonous.
Yeah, and for me, I haven't gotten to the point where it's monotonous at all. It's still a fucking spectacle every time. I'm having the most vanilla sex ever. It's a spectacle for me.
It's a spectacle, and you're, you know, but you could imagine though, after being married for, you know, whatever,
Yeah, but the kid's 22 and he's doing this. What's going to happen when he's married? Well, I guess he'll just continue on with this.
That's why I asked him that question. I was curious. I don't know. You know, we've interviewed Derek Pierce, you know, the porn star, and I don't think he'll ever be able to be monogamous because he just has this curiosity.
Yeah, I mean,
he also is into that S&M thing.
I was also fascinated by the fact that he seems to have such a wonderful relationship with his mother, his parents.
And his father, yeah.
And I kind of assume that if you're doing BDSM, you kind of have some detachment from the woman that you're doing it with. Like, you don't have that many feelings or something?
Well,
like,
we've talked about this before.
How would you ever feel...
I think if anything, he's got extreme compassion to them.
I know. I could see that argument as well. It's just fascinating. Fascinating. Thank you guys for listening.
Wait, why are we ending this conversation? I want to talk even more about it.
Okay, keep going. What do you want to say?
I like what you were saying because we've talked on this podcast before about how you really need the person to be totally engaged and focused on you and not going off and this S&M thing gets the person totally focused on you. You're 100%, even though you may not even know this person that well. And everyone wants to be his sub.
Unbelievable.
Like, he had me wanting to be a sub.
Yeah, for real?
No, just kidding. Well, kinda. Now, from a fantasy standpoint.
Yeah, I mean,
I would be too scared about the whole like nipple clamps or whatever they do to you. It's kind of freaky.
It gets me not aroused at all to be on either side of that.
Maybe when you explore your sexuality further, it'll go down that route.
Yeah, when I feel like I need to, I will explore more.
2045, you might be into.
Thank you.
You might be into pulling out the old blindfolds.
Yeah, that's good. It's good. Yeah, I do think it requires a lot of compassion for the other person as well. Like you heard how he's like, I'm very respectful for them. I'm listening to their needs, which is more than what most guys do. Most fuckboys are not listening to the other to their partner's needs.
No, and this guy is far from a fuckboy.
Yeah, he's very much listening to their needs, and he's meeting them, and their needs are just a bit different than the vanilla people that we're probably face to face with usually.
And his mission is to open up the communication about this, and that's what's good about what he did today. I loved it. Okay.
Love it.
I can now say I'm interested to hear what our listeners have to say.
Do you have a final question for them?
Yes. What are your feelings about BDSM, and have you engaged in it, and have you thought about it, and do you fantasize about it, and just let us know your thoughts.
Tell us your feelings about BDSM. I'm also interested in knowing who does this appeal to? Like, what type of person is most prone to entering this BDSM world? That's very fascinating to me.
My research, my extensive research is that it could be the guys that are into being submissive have had real big power trips, and maybe vice versa and girls that are maybe in a real powerful position like to be submissive as well. You know, in the real life, don't have in the real life. You want to be that role in the sex life, or vice versa. Maybe you are very submissive in your relationship, and you like to get really down and dirty when you're in bed.
Yeah, yeah. I think it probably is. It attracts a certain type of person, which is why he said he can feel on a vibrational level that when he's coming in across someone that wants to enter into that.
Oh, well, I wonder what if he's thinking something about me.
Ooh. All right. Thank you very much for listening. Send us your thoughts at sextalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can also call and leave a message on our voicemail.
And you know, please leave us a rating or review
Yes.
On our iTunes
store.
Podcast.
Yes.
At iTunes Store. But most importantly, we're really pushing the video of our Instagram. So we'd love to have you follow us on Instagram.
All this will be in the show notes on this episode. Thank you so, so much for listening.
Love you all. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.